I want to begin this morning to give thanks to God and thanks to you for inviting me to occupy this pulpit this morning. It is a great privilege to me because I love you. I love you as a church. And I've been so well fed here when I come with my wife, sit right there in the congregation listening to this beautiful music, this great choir, which inspired me so greatly and filled me for the whole week. My wife and I decided that First Church will be our church that we go there because of our engagement with the choir there, but this church will come first. We come here every Sunday morning to hear the message, to hear the music, and when Mr. House teaches, tells the story to the children, we love it so much. I want to sit there by his feet to hear the story. So great. He has a wonderful gift, the gift of storytelling, which I do not have. I'm a disaster. When it comes to storytelling, I'm a disaster. I don't know how to do it. I'm not motivated. I'm not very good at that. And he is a man for that. I recommend your name highly for that. Thank you. Thank you, choir, for you have been an inspiration to me. The choir of our church is indeed a very wonderful choir. They bring me joy and lift us up together. You know, give us a good sense of worship and family. We are a family together. I thank you and I thank the Reverend Aaron for inviting me to be here as a part of this congregation today. I want to thank Ron, Jesse and Margaret for the beautiful music, organ, piano every Sunday morning. I'd like to call your attention for the hymn that we all sang this morning. Very beautiful. Guide me all through, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I'm weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. This hymn was written by Williams in 1745. The words are so beautiful, and the words are so fitting to our time right now as we think about those who are immigrating, those who are trying to cross the land, coming to the country and coming to the barren land and dying of thirsty and hunger and being maltreated, not welcomed by us. Sometimes that pains all of us Christians. We feel that pain. It's so close to us. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my salvation. Amen. In the great metropolis of São Paulo, in Brazil, there is a very elegant area, a residential area called Vila Mariana. The Villa Mariana is originally an Italian area of São Paulo where many Italians lived in the beginning of the last century. They came there, they built these villas, beautiful villas, very nice, like in Europe, European villas in Italy. And now, as we develop the times and the history took place in Brazil, they decide to build huge apartment houses and huge buildings with apartments and condominiums. And there, in the 17th floor, a friend of mine lived with his family of four children and a wife and husband. They lived together very happily in that place because it's very comfort, very convenient, very luxurious, very convenient for people to go to downtown São Paulo, the city. They were home every day by 5 p.m. and they noticed that this young man came in, nicely dressed, but came to the garbage disposal, the place there, the trash can, and going through it, looking for the rest of food and collecting in this plastic sack, and took as much as he could and take home. And they really were bothered by that, not because of the fact that he came there, but the fact that he was taking that leftover food. Sometimes was no good for nothing. So one day, the owner of that house, the family, head came to that man and said, "Do you know what? I would like to invite you to come to have dinner with us tomorrow. My wife and I are preparing a good dinner, an Italian dinner, and we want you to be our honored guest." He said, "Okay, I will accept your invitation." So the following day that young man came, he had a clean shirt, a nice tennis shoes on. He came in the house and they received him with joy. They said, "Come to the table, we want to have dinner together." The wife prepared a wonderful pasta dinner, great salad and good Italian wine, and the table was set, and he came to sit with them. As they gave grace to God and then they start eating the food, they noticed one thing, that the man was eating very little, very slowly, and then suddenly the tears were coming down, rolling his face. And they look at him and to one another and they said, "What's happening here? Are you okay? You are not liking this food. Can we change the food for you?" He said, "Oh, the food is wonderful. The wine is delicious. Your hospitality is so great. But I cannot eat this food." They said, "Why? Are you on a diet?" He said, "No, I cannot eat this food because at home I have 5 children and my wife waiting for me to come home every day with the rest of food that I can find in the garbage. That is how I am feeding my family. I have no employment for over 3 months now. Nobody wants to give me a job or opportunity to work. I have no food. I have no other source but to go to the garbage places collecting food." My dear friends, that's the situation in the world today. There are so many, many people hungry, looking for food, looking for an opportunity to feed their stomach, to feed their physical body. I was curious enough to seek the definition of the word hunger. And the Webster defines hunger as on the following terms: a craving or a urgent need for food or a specific nutrient, an uneasy sensation occasioned by the lack of food. Do you realize the condition of the world today, particularly in the countries of the third world, with the movement from the rural areas to the urban areas, the so-called modern time that we have today, the advanced technology of our time, our electronic age, which is eliminating the presence and the natural abilities of human beings? It's very scary today. You know, the kids of 7, 8, 9 years of age, they know how to use a computer so wisely. They know how to use your cellular. They know how to use your calculation. They know how to use your TV, and they set up everything. They unset everything they want. They are incredible. My granddaughter of 11 years of age taught me how to use my cellular. I didn't know how to send email, how to take pictures of them with that, how to do this, to do that, and they teach me over again. I am an old man. I am from the old world. I don't know how to use cellular and this technology. But they know. They know how. They are sharp, fantastically. The false attraction of the city is the abandonment of the fertile rural areas of productivity. The scarcity of food and the unlimited growth of population all over the world, particularly among the poor, among the undeveloped people. Do you realize that approximately 850 million people worldwide are malnourished today? Children are the most visible victims of malnutrition, particularly in Africa and in Asia, in India. The causes for such a disgrace to happen are poverty, people not being able to afford the resources necessary to the acquisition of food, the extreme unequal income distribution in the world and within specific countries and regions in the world. You don't have to go to India or to Africa to notice that. Here in Mexico, our neighboring country, how many people make only about $10 a week or $8 a week and are very happy with that kind of salary? Among the population, we have learned that 70% of the children in the nation of Asia, in the area of Asia, are malnourished. 26% in Africa, 4% in Latin America and the Caribbean, which I find to be very low for Latin America. The second cause for such a crisis is conflict. The United Nations report of 2005 says that there was an alarming number of refugees escaping from hunger, escaping their countries, in looking for opportunities to live again. And that number is 4,772,000 people, refugees coming out. And now it's increasing more and more, particularly with the conflict in the Middle East, and the conflict in Beirut, the conflict in Lebanon. People are being killed day and night. People are being losing their homes, losing their jobs, losing their business, going crazy. People in the middle and upper class losing everything they had, their families, their children, their wives, not knowing where to go. They are lost. They are in despair. And we continue to leave them suffering in that situation. The good news, folks, is that the world is still producing enough food to feed us, to feed everyone. But the problem is that so many in the world do not have sufficient land to grow or income to purchase land and to plant and to seed enough food. This is a physical situation, the physical hunger. This is a picture in a minimum size of what is going on today in our world. What can we do as Christians? How can we exercise our faith? How can we exercise our witness for Christ? Are we going to be silent in face of the injustices of this world? Are we going to be indifferent in face of the wars that destroy everyone? Are we going to proclaim Jesus Christ as the hope and the peace for this world? Are we proclaiming the reconciliation that comes from God, the justice that is in God? There is no justice without, there is no peace without justice, and there is no justice without the equilibrium of power, the authority being diminished. It's not a privilege of few against the many, the millions, but it is a case of equity, equality, and recognition that we as human beings are part of the same family, the family of God, the human family. The gospel says that Jesus saw the great crowd of those who were following him, and he had compassion on them. There is a need for the world to be compassionate to the world. And if the world cannot have compassion on people who are suffering, shall we as a church? We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. He had compassion on the crowd. He cried and he told his disciples, where are we going to buy food for these people? Where are we going to buy bread to nurture these people, this multitude of people who are here? They are hungry. They are tired. They need to be fed. 5,000 people ate, and they had not eaten yet. 5,000 people ate and left out 12 baskets of bread. Those baskets were filled with bread multiplied from the 5 fish, and the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. The miracle took place after Jesus prayed. And the Bible says, the gospel says that he gave thanks, Eucharistic way of praying. When we pray, we break bread together as a church. We are praying for the bread and we consecrate the wine. That is what we call Eucharisty. I give thanks to God. Jesus gave thanks to God. And that miracle took place there in a multitude of people who, after giving thanks, gave bread to them and said, Jesus said, as much as they wanted, give them the food. He did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to them, to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. Let nothing be wasted. What a lesson for all of us. How many of us do not take seriously what we have, the resources that God has provided us? We take for granted what we have, what we are, how we live. We live in luxury. We live in comfort. We do like good things, good materials. We are not conformed with what we have. We always want more and more and more. We want now products that are made outside our country. We prefer the best technology products because we are that kind of people, that kind of society, a society that wants more and more and more. And we waste time We waste resources. We waste goods. We waste food also. It is very interesting to me to notice that in many countries, you know, particularly this country, sometimes we waste food. We throw them in the wash ocean. Instead of giving to the poor who are hungry, we throw them out in order to keep the balance, the price, the value in the market, the stock market. Unbelievable situation happened in this country and other countries, the developed countries, in Europe also. What can we do as the people of God? Only the miraculous Jesus can multiply bread and make wine out of water to satisfy those who are hungry. And he does so because he is the God of compassion for mankind. He loves us. His grace is sufficient to sustain us, to give us life and life abundantly. The second kind of hunger is the hunger of the Spirit. The psalmist says in a very poetic manner, "My soul thirsts for God." And if we want to change, "My soul hunger for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts, my soul hungers for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I seek God." I've been in Israel, I've been to the Middle East more than 3 times. And I have noticed that water is indeed an asset to those countries. A place that has water for people, they are happy, they are rich. Now what people do there, that if you have a little well in the back of your house, the enemy comes sometimes and poison that water so that you cannot have it anymore, not for you, not for your animals, so you have wasted a complete well of water. That's the tragedy of our times. Water is very precious, and yet we don't realize that here because we have enough, thanks be to God. We are so lucky, we are so blessed. Our soul thirsts for God, and our spirits are hungry for Jesus, the bread of life. We are created, my friends, by God with 2 very distinctive natures, the physical nature and the spiritual nature. The spiritual nature longs for God. It seeks communion with the eternal, seeking the presence and direction of God. Has that not been your experience sometimes? It is mine. Sometimes I'm tired. I'm weary because of all I have to do, the intellectual activities, the church, the obligations. And I forget to seek the presence of God in my life. I forget about the prayer time. I forget about the meditation time. And when we forget those things and we do not make a priority of them, we are in trouble. Because that is the spiritual part of us. Seeking, longing, seeking and trying to find the presence of God Almighty, to inspire us, to sustain us, to guide us, to lead us into His path, and doing us disciples of Jesus Christ, making us disciples, faithful disciples. How it is with your soul? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. That question was asked by John Wesley. John Wesley used to say that to his parishioners. How is it with your soul? How are you doing with your communion with God? How are you doing with your walking with God every day? How are you doing with your devotional life? Do you have a time alone with God for prayer, for confession, for renewal? What are you doing about your personal retreat? Do you have a time in the year that you take time off to take an inventory of your own life, your spiritual life, to see where you are with God? The best answer to that question I find in the hymn written by Horatio G. Stafford in 1873, when he wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." How many times we find ourselves in trouble, in agony, can we say that? It is well. It is well with my soul. Only Jesus Christ can fill our hearts with the true joy and permanent peace. We need the bread of life to give us the strength to face the challenges of life and to resist the temptations of our daily journey. The Psalm 84 is an eloquent poetic expression of our constant quest for the presence of God. Here is what he says. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. January 6th was the last day of my active ministry in the church. It was the day of the service, a special service at the first church celebrated my ministry of 36 years in this country and 43 years, including Brazil. That service was well attended. We had over 1,000 people coming together to celebrate that event on a Sunday night. And the choir sang this beautiful hymn. It was a very touching experience. How lovely is your dwelling place, O God. I felt myself confined to that place and putting myself in the place of the psalmist, going to the atrium of the Lord, looking at the sanctuary and saying, how lovely is your dwelling places, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. So many of us are thirsty and hungry for God. Our spiritual nature needs the presence of the Creator, whom Paul Tillich called the ultimate concern, the very foundation of our being. If that is your case, if that is my case, we are invited by the Holy Spirit to let Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and to enter into our lives and allow Jesus to transform our being and become our Lord, the Lord of our lives. Allow Jesus come in and be the Lord of our lives, so that your spirit will be fulfilled and our souls forever be satisfied. Let Jesus come in. Let the bread of life feed your soul. Rejoice. Be in peace. Follow him. Be a peaceful person. Be a reconciling person. Proclaim the good news of the God of life, the God of peace, the God of transformation, and let the bread of life be your bread every day. Let us pray. Come, Jesus, the Son of God, satisfy our hunger for thy presence in our need for our Lordship. Guide us and be present in all circumstances of our life. Be there for us in our need for grace, forgiveness, and reconciliation with thy Holy Spirit. For these we pray in thy holy name. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have come to us this morning, touching our souls and our spirits, touching our emotions, making us sometimes lend tears of joy and satisfaction for being serving you in your kingdom in this world. God, we give you thanks for this church, for this congregation of your children, for this choir, for those who play the piano and the organ, for the conductors, for those who teach the children, tell them beautiful stories of the Bible, for the preacher, Reverend April, who is not here with us today, that you bless her, that you keep her under your care and love at the conference of the clergy women. And now, O God, we pray for those members of this congregation who are lonely, who are sad, who are mourning the loss of dear ones. We pray for those who are hospitalized, for those who feel, O God, lost, those who feel in despair because they don't know what to do with themselves, don't know if they are going to be healed or not. They don't know what the tomorrow is like. I pray for them. I pray for healing. I pray for your grace. Lord, I pray also for those in Lebanon. I pray for those in Iraq. I pray for those in Afghanistan, for those who have lost their dear ones, for children who have perished, for women who have been killed, for males who have lost their lives also, for innocent people who have been killed also, O God, for houses who have been destroyed. Lord, have compassion on your people. Be merciful to them. Stop the war, O God. Bring peace to the world. Help the Middle East, O God, to come to a settlement, to an understanding of power. Let not the power of men be over there to destroy each other, O God. I pray for Israel. I pray for the government so that they might come into consensus of the situation and stop the violence. God, bring us your peace. Teach us to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.